You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I'm excited about today's episode because we are going to be having a conversation that I wish someone had with me, that I wish somebody just included in like some type of discipleship to help me navigate doing business God's way. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to someone who wanted me to do a ministry role. And I remember telling them that I was very hesitant about taking on the responsibility. At the time, I think I was pregnant with my second son, and I was around the end of my pregnancy. And I was like, you know, I don't know what life is going to look like with multiple children, multiple businesses. I don't know. And I had a lot of hesitation because I was in a space where I felt like so much of my relationship with the Lord on a day-to-day basis, there was a lot of doing things for God, like seeking God for the podcast or for the clients I was working with, for my family, my children, so many different things that I was seeking the Lord for to do. And I was struggling with finding the time, the space, the mental clarity to be able to just sit and exist as a daughter, to just sit and exist and be filled by the Lord, not for me to then go take and pour, but for me to just simply receive. I was struggling with that. And I remember talking to them about it. And I was like, you know, I think this position will just be more responsibility and more spiritual responsibility at that. And I was like, I do not want to put myself in a position where I am not sitting with the Lord for Tatum. And all of my activity is based around what I could produce or my skills or my gifts. And I remember this person telling me like, no, it's okay. Like when you're serving and you are doing XYZ ministry related, that's still your time with God. You're still serving the Lord and you're still doing what He wants you to do. And in my mind, I'm like, this is horrible advice. And I remember thinking like, yeah, no, that's not it. That's to me a very dangerous place to be. And so I rejected the opportunity because one thing I did know was that what I didn't need was more responsibility. And I wasn't going to allow myself to be like worked to death for ministry's sake. And so, I turned that down. But this conversation that we're having today is all about protecting your relationship with God while you're building His vision. Because where I found myself over the last, I would say, few months or so, is similar to where I was a couple of years ago, where the Lord directed me to go to law school. So I've been very faithful in that. I've been seeking Him on how to show up in my classes in a way that honors Him, how to engage my classmates in a way that honors Him, how to navigate the different responsibilities while still honoring Him and my family and all the things. And I've even been seeking Him on what this all means, this whole law school journey. What does He have for me? In my own brain, I could easily conceptualize what could be the path forward. But I am very intentional about staying at the step that the Lord has me in. So the assignment was, or the instruction was, go to law school. So I'm in law school. Figuring out how He's going to have me operate as a lawyer is we're not there yet. And so I intentionally have to, or I'm very intentional about staying at whatever step the instruction is and not getting too far ahead, because I feel like that's how you get out of alignment. So nevertheless, still though, I'll always pray and like, okay, God, is there any opportunities you want me to seek? Just checking in, making sure it ain't nothing else I need to do. And so now that things have slowed down a little bit, I've come up for air, I feel like I I don't know, that ability to just sit and receive and be a daughter and not a worker, a leader, or entrepreneur, or whatever the role is, it's been really difficult. And I told y'all how, I would say maybe a month or so ago now, how I had fasted. And during that fast, I didn't have anything I wanted to pray for. I didn't have anything I wanted. I just wanted that closeness. That's it. I just wanted to feel close to the Lord without the attachment of the work. And so in that, that was such a freeing fast for me, where I was just like bawling my eyes out just for no reason other than like, it was almost like I needed a hug from my parent. And so during that time, though, a revelation that I had gotten was that when we are working for the Lord, and he's called us to partner with him in his work, if we don't have intentional boundaries in place, that partnership can then begin to feel transactional instead of relational. And that's a very real risk of doing business God's way. And so when your business is a calling, your relationship with him can slowly begin to resemble a business partnership instead of a father-child relationship. And so I wanted us to have this conversation on the podcast because I wanted to serve as a warning. And then I also want us to have a strategy in place when we get to this point, because I believe that it's inevitable, especially depending on all of what the Lord has called you to. If you're somebody who, let's say, has a ministry and a business and a family, by nature of all of those heavy responsibilities and those very spiritual responsibilities, you and the Lord work a lot together. And the reality of what all goes into that, your time, your 24 in a day, is limited. And so I believe that it is likely for you to get to that point where the relationship feels transactional. But it's important for us to do as much as possible to try to keep us from getting there. And we'll talk about strategies, of course, within the episode, but also just understand that that may happen. So we need to be able to recognize it so that we can repent and that we can course correct. I know for me personally, after feeling this way, one thing that I did since I'm on a break from school, I've been thinking a lot about the podcast, specifically my YouTube channel, because I feel like one of the things, there's an aspect of my gift that's been heavily underutilized because of my attention being focused on school. I am gifted at being able to communicate the word. I'm gifted at being able to discern what the Lord may be saying or what someone may be going through, and being able to encourage them and craft a message that speaks to something that they may not have the words for. I'm gifted in that area, and I continue to do that on this podcast, but I just feel like there's more that I want to discuss. And this podcast is a platform that I leave off limits for my own creativity. And what I mean by that is, this is a space that I look at as more of a ministry, where whatever the Lord wants me to share, I'm going to share it on this podcast, and that's it. My YouTube channel, though, is where I feel like I have more leeway to be able to say, hey, y'all, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this that may be going on in the world and how this relates to scripture or how this relates to us as Christian entrepreneurs. So I've been thinking a lot about my YouTube channel and how I want to show up on that platform, because I have ideas, I have branding that I'm thinking about, thought leadership topics that I want to discuss that is more suited for that platform. And so I sat down one day and I was just strategizing about my YouTube channel, and I use AI to strategize. When I'm strategizing for YouTube or social media, I like to use Google Gemini, because it's attached to the two largest search engines in the world. So who better to use for research or any type of brainstorming than that particular AI platform? So I was using Gemini to help me work through some ideas I have, give me some research and all of that. And man, I created a beautiful strategy for YouTube where I was so excited. I mean, I was upfront about my time limitations, and I did some research on other people who are similar in the space of faith and business, and just had a plan that was mapped out, that was aligned with what the Lord is calling me to speak about in this time, what I want to talk about. It was unique in standing out from the marketplace, and it was on point with what my ideal viewer was actively searching for online. So I was excited to get started recording. I got my time freed up. I got my studio, like I can go and get to it. But I created a boundary with myself where I was like, you know what? I still, though, am in this space where I just want to reestablish my flow and my closeness and my connection with my father. Y'all know that we also moved. So now I'm in a new environment, a new city, a new area. My, you know, family has to get adjusted. So there was some footing that I felt like I needed to get. And so I drew that boundary. I said, all right, Tatum, until you get into a flow that protects the personal, we can't continue on with producing. So maintain what you have, the podcast, and that's it. Until you get to a space where that relationship is just relational and the Lord is able to build you up and fill your cup. And then we can consider when to move forward with anything else. And so that was the boundary. This is me talking to myself. That is the boundary that I created. And so over the last, it's been maybe like 2 months or so. And over the last couple of months, I've seen that closeness just thrive. My family and I found a church home in the area that we moved to. The church is in walking distance, which is amazing. So Sunday mornings, me, my husband, and the kids, we walk over to church. It's not a startup church, praise the Lord. So they have well-established systems. They have children's church, where all three of my kids are in age-appropriate classrooms. Nobody's asking us to work anything. We're able to just sit there and receive. We go to breakfast usually after we leave church and then we come back home. It has just been beautiful. My mornings, I wake up early and I go for my walks around the neighborhood, and the Lord shows me things even in the neighborhood, and I'm able to pray for people, not to get on the internet or to minister via any avenue that I do professionally as well, but just to pray for the folks in the neighborhood. To just see people walking and the Lord may show me something and I pray for them. And I don't even usually engage them to like hold their hand and pray in the street, but I can see them and I just pray for them as I'm walking. The Lord has shown me so much favor, even professionally, as I'm going into the legal profession. And there have been so many things happening there that I may or may not share at any given point, but I've seen his hand even in what he's doing there. And more importantly, I just feel the love and the closeness and the presence of God like never before. And not for me to receive a download and go record a podcast or a video or anything professionally or through my businesses, but for me to just be filled as his daughter. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. They say that every day your business is late to AI, you fall 2 days behind. But how do you keep up? The competition is only moving faster. Fortunately, that's NetSuite Next. You probably know NetSuite, the AI-powered business management suite that securely connects all of your data. It's a unified suite that brings your financials, inventory, commerce, HR, and CRM into one single source of truth. Trusted by over 43,000 customers. NetSuite Next is the next huge leap in how business gets done because AI is built into everything that you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day. AI agents work alongside you to solve problems and handle routine work. And anytime you have a question about anything, ask, just like you're having a conversation with a colleague. NetSuite is customized for a wide range of industries, so it supports the way your business truly works. Whether your company earns millions or even hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next, where your business meets AI. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free. If your revenues are at least in the seven figures, go to netsuitenext.ai/blessed. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom, NetSuite ships.ai/blessed. This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. AI is only as smart as what you put into it. And those breakthroughs, the one that actually make your life easier, happens when the AI is built for exactly what you need. ShipStation's AI isn't a general purpose tool. It's specialized, trained on decades of real shipping data, and billions, with a B, of actual orders. ShipStation is an end-to-end order fulfillment platform for e-commerce businesses. Powered by AI trained on decades of data from billions of shipments across the world, ShipStation adapts to your unique business, alerting you when stock is low, recommending the best carrier selections and rates, and automating tasks to save you time so that you can stay one step ahead. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. Y'all know I am an AI lover, and I use it for productivity. I use it as a personal assistant, and I use it to make my life easier. Shipping should work the same way. And if you're going to trust AI to make decisions, you want to trust the company with more shipping data than anyone else in the game. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code BLESSED. That's ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. ShipStation.com, code BLESSED. Taxes and fees apply. This episode is brought to you by IXL. It's back to school time, and we just moved, so new teachers, we have new schedules, and new expectations. Thankfully, we have IXL, which makes it easy to spot and close any potential learning gaps in just a few minutes a day. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to help kids get back to a learning routine and start the school year confident and prepared. Y'all know how I feel about IXL. We are a IXL household. My son loves it. I love it. And now my preschooler is excited to get his own profile so that he can start learning on IXL as well. IXL is proven to improve grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests, and that's proven in all 50 states. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. And if you have multiple kids like me, one subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And so now I feel even more equipped to be like, okay, in a couple of weeks before I start back school, now I'll start to record again, because I feel like now I have this flow and this new closeness and this new cadence that will be able to sustain what's next. And so again, I wanted to record this episode because this is a place, this relational to transactional is a very real risk of doing business God's way. And we have to have a plan to mitigate that risk. So y'all know I love to research. I love to not just come on here with theories and ideas and testimonies, but I like to come with some studies. And this is an area that is very well documented. Psychologists have spent decades studying what happens when relationships become what they call dual role relationships, where your spouses and also coworkers, where you are parents and also business partners, or your friends or family, and you're also co-founders. I've experienced this not just in my relationship with God, but also being a Christian entrepreneur. But my aunt and I are business partners with Anchored Media Studios. My co-hosts within a society, Sharla and Kavaya, they are my friends, but we also are business partners with that venture. And so maybe you have a business with your friends, or you and your mom decided to start a business together, or you and your spouse work together. These dual role relationships can oftentimes create tension unless that there are very clear boundaries that are established. And so as I was doing this research, I couldn't help but wonder if many of us have unknowingly created this dual role relationship with the Lord. He's our father and the CEO of our business. He's our savior and he's the strategist. He's our shepherd, and he's also the business consultant that we go to when we create our content or serve our clients. And so the problem, according to researchers, isn't working together. The issue that comes up is what they call role confusion. So one of the strongest concepts in organizational psychology is role conflict. Role conflict occurs when someone has multiple identities that begin competing with one another instead of complementing one another. Researchers studying family-operated businesses found that owners who employ family members experienced significantly higher work-family conflict than owners who did not. And that increased conflict was associated with a lower life satisfaction and lower job satisfaction. This happens to us when we are working for the Lord. So instead of just saying, I love spending time with God, I love sitting in his presence, I love to just be close to him so that he could fill me up so that I could worship him, now it becomes, okay, I need a strategy, I need direction, I need a download. Lord, I need clarity. Lord, I need provision. I need you to provide for me, God. I need you to heal me. I need. So instead of just, I worship, I love, is I need. And you going to the Lord for a need isn't necessarily wrong. But when that becomes the only way in which we connect with him, intimacy then dwindles. And then our relationship becomes transactional, and it becomes more about productivity versus us just being poured into by our Father. Researchers also show that every relationship needs boundaries. Boundary theory is one of the most established framework in work-family psychology. It means that people thrive when they intentionally manage where one role ends and another one begins. Researchers studying employees and family businesses found that how people managed the boundary between work and family predicted their levels of work-family conflict and even turnover intentions. People who lack healthy boundaries experienced more conflict. This explains why married couples who own businesses often schedule designated business meetings, date nights where work is off limits, vacations where you can't talk about business at all. They have separate workspaces, clearly defined responsibilities. And so these boundaries create your ability to be able to protect that core relationship. And I've experienced this even with my aunt, who is my business partner, when it comes to the studio. We work extremely well together. We are very much so alike. We're both very type A. We're very detail oriented. We are both very no nonsense. How we go about accomplishing a goal a lot of times is different, but we both do good work. We both trust each other, and we trust each other's processes. So even if I don't agree how she's doing something, I trust that she's doing the best that she can do, and whatever she's doing, because she's just excellent, is likely to have a good result. And so even if I don't necessarily agree, I'm not going to push back. I'm going to just let it play out. And I think vice versa, where she respects my experience and what I can do. So she like, I don't know, but we're just going to see. And I've seen that even recently, where she's been hosting a lot of events at the studio. So if you guys follow Anchored Media Studios on Instagram, or if you follow me on Instagram, we usually do like collab posts, so they come on my page. And she's been doing some amazing events. She did a self-care event a few weeks ago. She did a Mother's Day event. And I'm sure there'll be more. But she had this vision of curating events within the space, these signature events. And initially for me, I know she can throw an amazing event. We're family. She's thrown all of the major events in my life. She helped me plan my wedding, any baby shower, she decorates my house. Like, that's my girl. She's always curated events for herself as well. She hosts an amazing Christmas party every year, and like, curating events is her thing. And so I knew that she would be excellent at it. My initial hesitation has always just been, it's expensive. It's expensive. And she's bougie. So it's expensive. And I felt like it was a far-fetched return on our investment by doing these events that we're curating versus like partnering with other people. But I let it rock. You know, I'm like, I trust her. She just wants the best for the business. I trust what her vision is. So we're going to see. She's been doing these events and we've seen a huge uptick in events at the studio. Like, before, photo shoots and video shoots were the most booked type of bookings that we had at our space. Now it's events. We've had baby showers, birthday parties. Every time she has an event, somebody who comes then books and has their own event. Like, we've had some amazing events consistently every single month. And for a space that is a flex space that operates on hourly bookings, an event is like easily a 6 or 7 hour booking that they, and then most of the time they stay late because they got to clean up and all of that. So you can add a couple more hours on that. So that's at least like $1,000 or so every single weekend, or multiple times a weekend, because Saturday and Sunday. And so we've seen like this huge increase in events within our space since she's been doing this. And so I could have had an attitude or been like, oh no, I don't want us to do this, or I don't think it's a good idea, and shut it down and had all this conflict. But I was like, no, I trust her. So we're going to see. And it has worked out really well. And in addition to us working really well together, we still maintain our personal relationship. So if I need a babysitter, I'm still calling her. If I'm in her neighborhood, I'm still popping up. And I still call, we kiki about whatever that's not business related. And that's needed. And or our relationship would become transactional. And I don't know about y'all, but when I work with people I love, I can't have that. She's one of the most important people in my life. So the last thing I want is for our relationship to be transactional. The Lord is the most important one in my life. And so I definitely don't want my relationship with God to be transactional. And then the implications of that, how would that then trickle down to the folks that he's called me and he's called you to pour into? So these boundaries are extremely important to protect that nuclear relationship. Something else interesting I saw was that when you work with someone you have a relationship with, stress travels across those different roles. Researchers found that studying more than, they studied 200 farm-owning couples, discovered that business tensions spilled over into the quality of their relationship. So as their business tensions increased, relationship conflict increased. And wives in particular reported lower satisfaction with their business partner spouse. This shows that conflict rarely stays in the room where it started. Business stress was becoming marriage stress. Financial pressure becomes parenting stress. Deadline pressure becomes friendship pressure if you're working with friends. And the same thing happens with our relationship with the Lord. If you launch your God-given business and it fails, that's going to impact the quality of your relationship. If you're experiencing financial difficulties in your business, that's going to make you feel like, God, you're not providing for me. So it's very easy for difficulties in one area to translate into the other area without proper boundaries. Because if you have proper boundaries in place, you can launch your business, it fail. And by fail, I mean you don't receive any type of sales or meet the numbers that you want to meet. When you have protected the core of your relationship with the Lord, you don't then turn to say, oh God, why did you give me this business idea just for it to fail? God, you've forgotten about me. You left me. The conversation then becomes, Lord, I don't quite understand why this didn't go the way that I had hoped. However, nevertheless, I trust you. Is there somewhere that I went wrong? Is there a way that I may have inserted my own plan into your instruction that led to this outcome? Or is this exactly how you knew it would go? And this is just a part of my story and I need to trust you. If you protected the core of your relationship with the Lord and you have a financial difficulty in your business, it doesn't then become, God, you're not providing for me. I thought you would provide. And then you get disappointed and distant. It's okay, Lord. Things are tough right now, but I know that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. When you have properly protected that core relationship, if a door closes in your face, you're not looking at God sideways like why these opportunities are being blocked. You're rejoicing because you know that if a door is closed, then that can also be in the will of the Lord. That can also be redirection. That a closed door is still a blessing for as long as it's in the Lord's will. So your perspective is different when we protect this core relationship and have these boundaries in place. And the difficulties and the struggles that are going to come as a result of business, because that's just how it goes, are not going to bleed over into your personal relationship. The enemy would love for these roles to be conflated. He would love for every time something goes wrong in ministry and business or whatever the Lord has you doing, for you to then throw everything away, for you to then slam your Bible shut and not open it anymore, for you to then close your mouth and not pray anymore, for you to just turn your back on God or distance yourself and avoid him altogether because you're disappointed and hurt. The enemy would love that. Because now he's able to taint the purity of what God is doing. Now he's able to tempt you out of alignment and get you off track.
This episode is brought to you by Breeze Meds. Everyone's talking about GLP weight loss medication right now. What people don't know is that getting started is so much easier than you think. With Breeze Meds, it's all online, no clinics, no waiting rooms, and it's medically supervised weight loss that actually fits into your life. I have been on a GLP-1 for a few months now, and one of the biggest struggle points when I got started was the hassle to actually get started. Why I recommend Breeze Meds is because they are simple, easy, and that hassle just simply isn't there. It really is a breeze. They're convenient. Your medication ships to your door for free. There's no drama, no clinic visits, no referrals, no subscription. And it's accessible because the licensed provider handles everything online. Medically supervised GLP-1 weight loss, the real deal, all online. You can get started for $199 a month and it ships to your door for free. No subscriptions, no lock-ins, no hidden charges. You simply fill out a form to qualify at breezemeds.com and it takes less than 5 minutes. Get 20% off your first order with code BLESSED. At breezemeds.com, BREEZEMEDS.com. That's 20% off. Use code BLESSED at BREEZEMEDS.com. breezemeds.com. Code BLESSED for 20% off.
But this is why we're having this conversation, because now that the risk is illuminated, we can then make different decisions and put guardrails in place. Before we get to those guardrails, though, I first want us to go to Revelation 2:2-5. And this is a message to the church in Ephesus, and this is Jesus talking. He tells them, I know all the things that you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. This part breaks my heart. Let's read this again. Let's actually just start from the beginning. Revelation 2, starting at verse 2. Think, when you hear this, I want you to feel it as if the Lord was talking to you. I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work, your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place amongst the churches. Did that sting a little bit for anybody? I never, ever want to be in a place where the Lord could tell me that he sees the good works that I've done. He's seen my patient endurance. He's seen how I don't tolerate evil people. He's seen how I have rightfully called out false teaching. He's seen how I've patiently suffered. But he also sees that I don't love him or others as I did at first. That, man, that stings to even think about. And that's the risk that we run by not putting proper boundaries in place. I don't want the Lord to take the lampstand from its place amongst me. Like, I don't want the Lord to be displeased, to be dissatisfied, or need to take anything from me because I lost that connection to what actually matters. You know, something that I truly enjoyed recently, I told you guys how we found a new church home. So the first day we go to this church, and this church was referred to me by someone in the society, actually. And she had moved to D.C., and she told me about this church. And I was like, oh, I know what area that's in. And this was like maybe over a year ago that she told me about the church, but I always kept it in mind. And where we moved is in walking distance of the church. When we went for the first Sunday, one thing that I loved so much about the church was the purity and the focus on what matters. And it's crazy that it sounds like that should not be shocking to go in a church and see that they're focused on what matters. But in other spaces that we've been in, it's been a lot of the Lord wants to do this in your life. Here is how you seek God so that the delay won't show that it's denied. Or like there's just always these motivational self-help framed teachings. There's always this emotional pleading or this appeal to folks' emotions and their desires to be great and successful. But going into this place, all the songs were about God. Thank you for seeing me. Lord, I worship you with my life. Lord, thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me. Like, it was just simple, pure, focused on what actually mattered. The messages were not about how God wants to bless us. The messages were about discipleship, about being a someone who wins souls for the kingdom of God. It was just, and not to go out and build a business around it, but if you're walking down the street and you see somebody who's struggling, pray for them. And again, it was just keeping the main thing the main thing. And it was so refreshing to me. It was like drinking ice cold water on a hot day. It was extremely refreshing to me. And that's what I think about when I read this text, because that's how the Lord wants us to be, focused on what matters the most. It's not the success. It's not how much money we can make. It's not how many followers we have. It's not how many views, how many listens. It's not any of these worldly metrics. It is closeness and dedication to Him. It's loving His people. It's making disciples. It's being the salt and light of this earth. It's winning souls for the kingdom of God. It's holiness. And it's so easy. It's so easy to lose focus on that when you are also in a working relationship with the Lord. We don't want to hear what he said to the church in Revelations 2. We don't want to hear what he said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, where he said, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks laws. And you may say, well, I'm not breaking laws. I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. I mean, okay. So were the folks of the church of Ephesus. Does that make it better? Or do we all, no matter how good your intentions are, still need to repent and make some changes? So let's talk about practical guardrails. So what does it look like, Tatum? How do I put these boundaries in place? I don't want to hear what the Lord said to the church of Ephesus. I don't want to hear what he said in Matthew 7. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to produce for the Lord only in my relationship to be transactional. I want to maintain the closeness to my Savior that I had from the very beginning. I don't want to lose my love for him and other people because of the work that we're doing. How? I have here, let me see, 7 practical tips, practical guardrails that I want you to write down. Now, I feel like every episode of this podcast is useful, but this is one I feel very strongly about. If you don't listen to anything else I say, and I'm probably going to say this again in other episodes because these are the Lord's doing, all of these topics. But write this down. Sit with this in prayer. And I want you to take this extremely seriously. But this cannot be something that you listen to and you just say, oh, that was a good episode. I need to take that into consideration. No, this is a warning. This isn't just an episode. This is a warning. And I want us to take it with that level of seriousness. So here are some guardrails. The first one is have quiet time where no work is allowed. If every time you study your Bible is to receive information for you to give back out, that's a problem. You need to have time that you spend with the Lord that has nothing to do with the work or the ministry that you do. Ideally, I would suggest that you do this first thing in the morning. That you don't start your day, in my opinion, the same way we hate to wake up with a to-do list that we just jump right into work for the day. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like that. One of the reasons that I wake up early is because I find it to be frustrating and overstimulating when the first thing I do when I wake up is attend to something productive. Like if my kids wake me up, then I feel like I'm up too late because now I got to go straight to making breakfast and somebody's asking me for something. Then I'm checking emails and my phone and all of these things. No, no, no. We can't do that because it's going to put us on this hamster wheel all day. But waking up early and having that quiet time, that is that solitude time. Remember the ruthless elimination of hurry. The author spoke a lot about that solitude. So starting your mornings with that solitude where there's no work allowed is a guardrail. After reading the ruthless elimination of hurry, and there was a point that he made about turning your smartphone into a dumb phone. And so this is something that I did where I created a focus mode on my phone. I know the iPhones, we can create these focus modes. And so every morning or every evening around 9, it goes on this focus mode and it doesn't turn off until 8 a.m. And that's usually the time I'm like on my way somewhere. And so first thing when I wake up, I'm not looking at my phone. I don't even see any text that came through because it blocks it out. Nobody is able to reach me or call me. because everybody that I need to talk to is still in the house with me. So it's just off. And when I wake up in the morning, I get up, brush my teeth, change my clothes real quick, and I go straight outside for a walk. And that's my time. And I don't have no headphones in. I don't listen to any music, no podcast, no nothing. I'm listening to the birds chirp. I'm smelling the fresh air. I'm watching the folks walk their dogs, the joggers get their morning run in. I'm paying attention to my surroundings and engaging all of my senses. And as I'm doing this walk and just kind of engaging with my surroundings, then I start to pray. And I remember something that was interesting when I was walking around my neighborhood recently. This was in June, so it was Pride Month. And there were just flags everywhere, Pride Month flags. There were different causes that are going on in the government. People had flags about it. Even this is also the World Cup. So there were like Ronaldo and Messi, who are famous soccer player statues in the front yard of people's homes. And as I'm walking around and I'm just being observant of the houses and all the things that they have put out, I realized, I'm like, I haven't seen one cross. I haven't seen one Jesus loves you. I haven't seen one anything remotely close to Christian related in nobody's yard. And I walked like a couple miles. And as I was observing this, I just started to pray. I was like, Lord, I don't know the faith of the people in this neighborhood, but what I do see is a lot of symbolism and a lot of passion. Obviously, if you put a sign in your yard, you really care about it, right? So a lot of passion around these causes and these initiatives and all of these things. I don't know what the faith is of the people around here, but God, I pray that they have an encounter with you. And so I just began to walk around and pray. And as I'm walking and praying in the neighborhood, I'm not asking him for nothing for my day yet. I'm not asking him for anything work related. I'm not seeking his hand, his advice, or his strategy or anything. But I recognized a potential need for prayer and was able to respond in that moment. And that brought me closer to the Lord, because by doing that, the Lord allows my heart to break for the things that breaks his heart. When we are spending that quiet time with him without any expectations, without asking for anything, then he is able to impart in us what he wants us to see. So my walks around the neighborhood, the Lord is allowing my heart to break for what breaks his heart so that I can respond to it in prayer. The Lord is showing me things that I may not have noticed if my headphones were in or if I was too busy with my hand out. And that just strengthens our connection. And it protects it from all the 50 million things that I definitely want to ask about. So for you, I would suggest that you do the same thing. Have a quiet time throughout your day that is no work allowed. This is a protected time a day where work, ministry is completely off limits. I suggest doing it first thing in the morning, but do whatever works for you. I'm a morning person, so I'm always going to lean towards doing things first thing in the morning. But if you are somebody who's up late, maybe that's the time that you do it. Just get it done. The second guardrail that I want to highlight, get involved in community, not just online community, but in-person community. I suggest having an accountability partner for this particular area, somebody that you are open with and say, hey, my type A personality, my achieving nature, it's getting in the way of me being able to protect the core of my relationship with the Lord. Can you help me with that? And it could be as simple as your friend texts you every day to say, hey, have you spent your time today with the Lord without discussing business? Or your friend might say, hey, I'm about to call you and pray for you real quick. And then I want you to go and spend that quality time with the Lord. Reach out to folks and be vulnerable with them so that they can support you. I think something that is a huge downside of this internet age is that because we can connect with people so much in an online space, I believe that we lost the value of that in-person connection. I'm somebody, while I'm introverted, I prefer connecting with folks in person. I am a terrible texter. I don't like to be on the phone, and I don't want to be sitting up on FaceTime. The only people I FaceTime is I call my niece a couple times a week, and I call my grandmother every evening. Them the only people that I'm finna be on FaceTime with. I'm not sitting on the phone with FaceTime with nobody. However, I will hit you up and say, hey, what you doing on Saturday? Let's go get breakfast. Let's go to happy hour. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to this event, because I want to see you in person and look you in your face and give you a hug and have real conversations in person. And so that's something that's fulfilling for me. And I think all of us need to touch grass a little bit from being online and build these in-person connections. And so for us, even finding a church home, that was a huge priority for us, because that in-person community is something that we've been missing as we've been trying to find a church for the last couple of years. So I encourage you to get involved in community. Put yourself out there. If there's a group in your church, they have a small group or something, join it. If there's an event that's happening in your area, go, even if it's by yourself. So get involved in community, because that's going to help as well, because you're going to build those connections with people and they will then prayerfully become like accountability partners for you to really help you in this area. Number three is a hot take. You may not agree with me, but that's okay, because I'm going to say this one with my chest. Serve in an area. Serve in ministry in an area that is outside of your professional skills. And I'm going to say this from experience. I have felt the most disadvantaged when serving in ministry, when I was serving in things that I did for a living. It felt like I was being used. It felt like I was working for free. It didn't feel like I was serving unto the Lord. It felt like I was just working for free, with some Jesus sprinkled on top of it, and I didn't like it. It kept me in a worker's mentality of getting things done, being productive, focused on this, that, and other, as opposed to just, hey, I'm serving in excellence unto the Lord. If there's no difference between what I do Monday through Friday on Sunday, how is that going to put me in a place where I'm connecting with the Lord when I do this for a living? And I think it's one thing to, let's say you are an accountant and you give back to your church by filing their reports once a year or whatever. Like, that's just how you get. Cool. But you're not the church accountant, because that's what you do professionally. I feel a lot of churches get away with overworking people for free and hiding it behind you're serving. No, I don't believe in that. I think it's unethical, quite frankly. But outside of my strong opinions on how churches overwork folks, I think that if you're trying to protect your closeness with the Lord, it's hard to do that if you're still operating in whatever your professional skill set is. To me, it puts you still in this transactional state, as opposed to serving in an area that you're still, let's say, gifted. Most of us are multi-gifted. And I intentionally say an area outside of your professional skills, because your spiritual gifts are not always aligned with your professional skills. So I'm saying leave your professional skills out of it and serve in a way that's in alignment, though, with your spiritual gifts. If you can't sing, don't be on a choir. That's not what I'm telling you to do. But if you are somebody who is a podcast, let's say a podcast producer like me, I'm not going to do the church's podcast. I don't want to. If people pay me to do their podcast, I don't want to do that here. I want to greet people at the door. I want to smile and say, welcome to service. Two? Oh, great. We have two seats right here in the middle. Like, let me do that. Because then I can truly serve and serve the Lord and his people without having to worry about that line getting blurred. So again, this might be a hot take. Way the church that we're at now, I was thinking about what ministry I wanted to join. And I definitely want to join the prayer ministry where I just want to pray for folks. That's it. That is a spiritual gift of mine. I do have a prophetic gift. So when I pray for people, the Lord shows me things and I'm able to be very effective in prayer. And so that's how I want to use the gifts that the Lord gave me. But if somebody wants like something that aligns with what I already do professionally, nah. And again, a one-off of you're a lawyer, so you help the church with this issue. Cool. But I believe that a guardrail, an effective guardrail would be to serve in God's house in a way that's separate from your professional skill set. That might be a hot take. Try it. Let me know. Let me know if ministry is less stressful and you feel like you're able to do a better job of honoring the Lord and you feel closer to the Lord doing something outside of what you get paid to do outside of church. Try it out and then report back to me, because again, you may not agree, but I'm going to stand 10 toes down on this one. The fourth guardrail to put in place, and we talked about this in our Ruthless Elimination of Hurry discussion, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but practice the Sabbath. Rest. Have a day of rest and revisit those episodes where the author went into a lot of discussions on how the Sabbath can look for you. The fifth guardrail to put in place is to fast regularly, not fasting for something, not fasting to receive anything, but fast by turning down your plate. Don't eat from sunup to sundown and just spend that extra time in your word. Spend that extra time in prayer. Spend that extra time sitting before the Lord. Something that the Lord had me do early on in my relationship with him was to fast one day a week for a year. And so from 2017 up until 2018, every Monday, and I changed the days because that year, like some holidays fell on Monday. And so I changed it to different days those weeks. But once a week for a year, I fasted every week. And I've been thinking a lot lately, like, man, I think I want to get back to that, because that was a period where I knew on Mondays it was me and the Lord. We wasn't doing nothing. I wasn't asking for nothing, but it was just me and the Lord. And that closeness was unmatched. And so I would suggest the same for you. Number six, worship without asking for anything. And I think number six can get added to your Sabbath and get added to your fast, and it can get added to that quiet time where no work allows. So this is one that can get worked into other things. Worship without asking for anything. Just take time, let's say 30 minutes a day, and just worship. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Speak it out loud. Think about all the ways in which he has come through for you, and just spend that time worshiping. 30 minutes. I'm going to give you an assignment. 30 minutes a day of just straight worship. And then number seven, for those of us, because one thing that I have learned is that the more I protect this closeness with the Lord, the more ideas that I usually get. I told y'all about how I had all these ideas for my YouTube channel and I planned it all out. But then I told myself, like, okay, these are some great ideas, but you're going to have to wait until you get your flow back together. And so I say keep a God ideas journal, because he will give you downloads. You will get creative ideas. He will give you things without you asking. The Lord doesn't only reveal things to us or give us strategy when we ask for it. He's God. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. So it is likely that he will give you business ideas and strategies and instructions, but put it in a journal and close it, so that you can still protect that time. And then you open it back up when you are having a business meeting with God, when you are seeking him on behalf of something that you're going to do. That's when you can open it back up for further strategy and instructions. But having this journal allows you to still keep a record of it. And it can be in the notes app of your phone. Just keep a log. But it allows you to keep a record of it without the pressure to have to do anything with it, so that you can continue to protect this time. So let's recap. Number one, have a no work allowed quiet time with the Lord. Number two, get involved in community. And with that, find an accountability partner for this particular area. Number three, serve in an area outside of your professional skills. Number four, practice Sabbath. Number five, fast regularly. Number six, worship without asking for anything. And number seven, keep a God ideas journal. Most of all, you guys, I pray that this episode has blessed you. I pray that you take it as the warning that it is. I pray that you take it seriously and that you implement the things that we discuss, because we never, ever, ever want our relationship with the Lord, just because it can be a working relationship, to become transactional, because He's still our Father. He's still our Savior. He's still our Shepherd. And we have to maintain and protect that. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.